Chapter 3. The Vow. Dio stood at Lily's right hand, wreathed in the copper-dark stink of blood. The Hall of Plenty rang with roars and cheers, the hymn of metal upon metal. The Heartless and the Blackheart sat their thrones, still steadfastly ignoring each other after their altercation weeks past. Scorched stood guard around the hall, hapless prisoners strung from the chandeliers. Nikita's courtiers were gathered around the tables, cups filled to brimming, and the Wolf Mother and the Dragan were trying to murder each other. Their weapons cut the air louder than the storm above, the vampires flinging themselves about the room in that style Divok name Andya, the Tempest. The Dragan fought shirtless, sea monsters and maids inked on pale flesh, golden fangs glinting through a beard spattered with blood. He wielded a blade taller and wider than Dior, swinging it one-handed as he scythed through the air, skipping, leaping, whirling. The Wolf Mother had stripped down to her leathers and tunic, Kiara's muddy braids whipping behind her as she rolled aside, the Dragan's sword shattering the flagstones where she'd stood. "Stand and fight, coward!" Alex roared. The Dragan's lover spat on the floor, dragging a hand over her cropped scalp. Beside her, Kane, the headsman, motioned to one of the serving maids, who dutifully brought over fresh goblets of blood for him and the Grey Jester. The courtiers cheered as Kiara broke the Dragan's arm with her mighty warmaul, Nikita raising a cup to his daughter as the dueling coldbloods fell back, circling each other. The scene was painted red, carnage and cruelty, a court of abominations ever baying for more blood. And at the head of it, Dior stood, her pulse quietly seething. It had been seething all week, truth told. She and we had spoken after her meeting with Rain and her swordmaids, messages traced letter by painstaking letter upon her hand. We'd no explanation for the way her blood had reacted to that scalding blade, and that had been frustration enough. We'd told her about the Asani sigil in the Mother Maid's sepulchre, but we still knew Marin could not lie within that tomb. No vampire, ancient nor Medi, nor fledgling, might slumber upon holy ground. But worst of all, we'd told her that though we were healing, we were still not ready to fight. Soon, but not yet. And that word burned in her eyes, boiled behind her teeth, fists clenched so tight her knuckles were white. Soon. It's a terrible thing to sit silent while others suffer, but those who run fastest stumble swiftest. To speak here was to die. To fight here was to fall. Sometimes the hardest thing of all to do is nothing, and we could see that though Dior was heartsick with it, she understood the rules of this awful game. And at least now, she did not play it alone. Rain's ladies were gathered behind Lily, the princess herself, prostrate before the Contessa's throne. And in the moments Dior's resolve quavered, she would look to the Lady Rain Am again, the daughter of a duchess, on her belly at Lily's feet to be used like a footstool, and the Grail's mask would slip into place, her will iron once more. Aaron stood beside Nikita, resplendent in dark silks and a greatcoat of blue velvet brocade. Long hair spilled over his shoulders like liquid gold, his beautiful face a mask as he watched his maker brawl with the Dragan. Aaron had been spending every day in Nikita's boudoir. We'd seen bodies being hauled from the room by poor Isla, crushed and torn and ripped. And though we still felt a kinship with this fledgling killer, we wondered what Aaron had been forced to do and what he had chosen. Love is madness, or so the poets say, and a lover will do near anything to please their beloved. What darkness had been unleashed in the noble Capitaine of Avalane? Dio saw Aaron's suffering full well, but she knew just as we did that there was only one way he might be freed. He was Kith, after all. He could not drink her holy blood. The Grail's one hope to rescue the fallen Lord of Avalane was to destroy his master. But how? How could she overcome foes this fearsome? The Divok roared as Kiara blooded the Dragan again, the wolf mother sidestepping her cousin's strike and breaking half his ribs with her maul, using the weapon's weight to sail free of his fearsome counterstrike. Nikita chuckled as the pair circled each other once more, eyes flashing with shared hatred. Lily looked to her eldest son, limping now, hard eyes locked on his foe. "Stop toying with her, Dragan," she called. The vampire glanced to his broodmother, spitting blood as he snarled. Crowd roaring, he stepped to his cousin like thunder, forcing Kiara back, too fierce to parry, little time to dodge. But Kiara was swifter, rolling back across the broken floor. With a furious cry, the Dragan pursued, the weight of his greatsword dragging him up, up into the air. But Kiara slipped aside his attack as he landed, slamming her mighty maul into her elder's chest in reply. The Dragan crashed into the flagstones so hard they were smashed to powder, the wolf mother placing a boot upon his blooded ribs. "So the black lion fell also," she growled. "Demonstration as promised, dear cousin."
I yield,
the Dragan spat, blood gleaming on his golden fangs. "Untamed," came the cry around the hall, cups lifted in toast.
"Sante!"
Kiara raised her bloody maul in reply, throwing a triumphant glance toward her father. But her grin dimmed just a touch at the sight of Aaron, standing beside that dark throne and drinking from the cup a smiling Nikita had handed him. Lily lifted her own brimming goblet to her lips. The Heartless was clad in blood-red silk this eve, her crown of goat horns curling at her brow.
"Thy daughter fights well despite her youth, brother."
Nikita sipped from his goblet in return.
"She is my daughter, after all. Thy Dragan perhaps underestimated the worth of skill and overrated the value of age."
"A simple mistake to make."
"Fools often make the simplest."
Lily pouted in thought, tapping her lip as she studied her niece.
"She seems somewhat glum these nights, though, think ye not? Despite the new laurels her victory over the lion hath brung. Perhaps she rankles, thy Kiara, to see her position usurped."
"Usurped?" Nikita scoffed. "She stands as the right hand of my throne as ever."
The Heartless glanced to Aaron, lips twisting as her bottomless gaze drifted below his belt.
"I speak not of her position in the throne room, brother."
Aaron gave no reply to his great aunt, eyes fixed firmly ahead. Kiara's stare lingered on her father, the black heart glowering behind his cup. But if Nikita intended rebuttal, it was silenced as the doors were flung open, a boom echoing the hall's length. Soraya strode into the feast, dark skin gleaming, braids bejeweled with fresh snow. Nikita raised one brow.
"Daughter?"
Soraya glanced to Kiara, standing in triumph upon the bloody stone. The sister's eyes locked, the wolf mother's brow creased at the look on her younger sibling's face.
"Daughter," the black heart growled, "speak."
"Forgive me, father," Soraya bowed. "Her messenger is come to the gates."
Lily scratched Prince behind his ear, the great white wolf thumping his leg upon the stone like some overwrought pup.
"More Vos princes to beg for their pauper king? Soraya shook her head, looking to Nikita, her desire to please her liege and father, at war with the fear of being the bearer of ill news.
I think it best if you come see for yourself, my lord.
Nikita's fathomless eyes narrowed, pale fingers caressing the arm of the Nine Swords' stolen throne. The weight of long years rested heavy upon the brow of this prince, and he was not one for guess a game. But he stood slow, straightening the line of his magnificent greatcoat before stepping down off the dais.
Best you bring epitaph, father,
Soraya whispered. Murmurs rippled the length of that bloody hall, Nikita's bloodlords glancing among each other. The Blackheart scowled, reaching for the weapon leaning upon his throne. The great sword was terrifying, longer and broader than a man. A bear was fashioned upon the hilt, mouth open in a roar, its blade of darkest steel etched with runes in old Telhostic and notched by countless battles. Epitaph, Nikita had named it, and well was the moniker earned. God only knew how many its edge had written. With weapon at rest upon his shoulder, Nikita marched through the hall. As he passed, his bloodlords stood, suspicion in their eyes as they looked to Soraya. But the fledgling had already fallen into step at her sire's back, throwing another dark glance to Kiara beside her, others following now, until all the room was emptying out into the snow. All save Lily. The heartless remained, lips pursed, tracing one horn at her crown with a gold-dipped finger. Her swordmaids glanced to each other, to Rain, the question of sudden opportunity so heady, the princess almost missed Lily snaking to her feet with an exasperated sigh. Rain grunted as Lily trod upon her back, down to the broken flagstones. Snapping her fingers, the vampire stalked off after her brood brother, maids and wolf falling into step behind, Dior hurrying to keep up in her ridiculous heels. Out through the main doors, thunder singing over the bay, past the curious thrall swords, Joaquin near the stable, Baptiste in the smithy, little Mila shivering in her cage. Nikita's procession stalked past the ruins of the Mother Maid's sepulchre into Olton, the mortal stock living there shrinking back in terror. A horn blast rang from the walls in Newton at their approach, the mighty gates cracking wide, opening into the shattered second city beyond. The thousands of wretched in the ruins turned at the sound, those with intellect enough left to vocalize, whining or hissing their hunger. They slipped from broken homes, rancid drains, and crumbled fiefs, fangs bared, ever hungry. But when they set eyes upon the Blackheart, they trembled like curs before a lord of wolves, slinking back, back into the shadows. Dior walked at Lily's side all the while, hands before her like a holy sister. But her eyes were a stormy blue, a faint line at her brow, betraying her wonder at what might have drawn the Count Divok from his feast. As thunder rolled again, Nikita strode up the stairs to the high walk along the crumbling outer walls. His bloodlords stepped aside as Lily took her place at his right hand, peering into the dark. They lined up along the broken battlements, hundreds of years and thousands of lives their tally. Cain and Alex, the Dragan and Grey the Jester, Soraya and Kiara, and the rest. Dior heard the faint song of pipes in the dark, soft growls from among the kith. And though Lily kept her face a mask, a low hiss slipped her lips as thunder rolled again. The night was too deep for any mortal eye to pierce, and the grail squinted into that black. But lightning cut the sky, a brilliant bolt illuminating the rubble before Dunmeagen's walls, and Dior gasped as she saw the Legion arrayed there.
hulking forms and glittering fangs, crescent blades and golden eyes, fur daubed with blood and ink-scarred skin. The world ran dark again, Dior blinking in the aftermath, faint pipes singing of death and war. But the lightning came again, a blade arcing across the heavens, echoing now with thunder and the memory of the vow he'd made her long ago. I know not where this road will lead us, girl, but I'll walk it with you to whatever fate awaits. And if God himself should tear us asunder, if all the endless legion stood in my path, I would find my way back from the shores of the abyss to fight at your side.
Tears filled her eyes.
I'll not leave you, Dior.
Her whisper lost in the storm.
I will never leave you.
Gabriel.